Kurt Fearnley has changed the face of sport in this country over his career, which came to an end at the Commonwealth Games from a sporting sense at least, but the honours continue to flow, and last night he was named as the 2019 New South Wales Australian of the Year. Kurt, welcome and congratulations on 11-16 SEN.
Thank you, mate.
What do you make of it?
I don't know, mate. I was convinced that I wasn't going to be the recipient of the award. You never really back yourself in award settings. I think it's part of the DNA of being Australian is that you sit there and you always think that you're the other people are the ones that are more worthy. And when they call my name, mate, you go up there and you try and from that moment on you try and be the one that's worthy of it.
What do you think it says about what you've been able to do? Not the personal achievement, but in how you have represented and been able to shape the sporting landscape in this country?
Look, when you're doing something like a marathon and you're doing it for a couple of decades, you feel on your own for a lot of the time. A lot of the hours you're heaped down. You're away from even your family, your loved ones. And then you get moments like last night where you look around a bit and you realise a lot of people have come with you.
Yep.
And you've been able to have some conversations that I feel grateful that I've been able to have. You've been able to trigger some emotions in people, whether it's through the racing or whether it's through the conversations around disability or whether it's through the relationship with things like the Kokoda track. You can't feel anything except for just grateful and humbled. And again, you don't really think about the past. You just think about deserving it into the future.
What do you think your future will be, Kurt? Have you had a few months to think beyond your sporting endeavours?
I'm hopefully going to be able to run, till they bury me in a gutter somewhere. I got to run New York the other week and Chicago, and now I've got a. I'm trying my best to be able to line up on these races and be okay with finishing and try and switch that competitive gene off that's been just built for so long. And I was sent on this journey by a school teacher, and I became a school teacher in 2005. I've taught on and off in schools, mostly off over the last few years, but I know I'll be somewhere around the education space. I've had the absolute pleasure of seeing schools developing, with my name attached to it over in places like Nairobi, where we've got 65 kids in the Kurt Fearnley Centre in one of the slums there, kids with disabilities. When you get to see change in people's life, you do not get a more meaningful change or lifelong change as you do when you introduce somebody who otherwise wouldn't an education facility into one, and it's one of the most meaningful things that I've been a part of, and I'm sure my future will be there.
Have you thought about a role in public life beyond what you've just described there, whether it's leadership or politics?
Well, mate, I've had a few phone calls from political parties. Everyone bar One Nation, I think, has given me a call at some part. I want to have conversations that the red shirt or the blue shirt. I want to have conversations to people at home, whether they're conservative or progressive. I think that if I talk about disability and I talk about trying to employ people with disabilities or trying to make sure that we rectify the education around people with disabilities, then I can't just talk to one group or another, or else I'm going to lose.
Yep.
We're all going to lose. So I'll happily sit well and truly away from that one for a while, and I'll just try and do my best to progress the things that I care about.
How have you seen those change over the past couple of decades, Kurt?
Yeah, for me, 1985, mate, I was meant to be institutionalised.
Yep.
I was meant to be sent into a segregated setting for education. A principal fought for me there when I couldn't fight for myself. He spent his Christmas holidays cementing my school. He, out of his own pocket, bought the bags of concrete. We're now seeing kids with disabilities enter into schools and public schools all around the country, but we're getting a bit of a drop-off when it goes to education into higher education. We're in the bottom of the OECD still when it comes to education and disability and employment with disability. And I've been proud to be a part of Crown Ability through the Crown Resorts. We've seen 256 people with disabilities find employment in the last 4 years, and I hope we can replicate that, we continue to grow that, and I hope that we can do something concrete, something substantial about both of those two things.
Have you been in recent years, and perhaps especially since your retirement, have you been able to tap into those that you inspired, those who share their stories about what they observed you were able to do and how it's made a difference in their lives?
Yeah, I find it pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
You get somebody come up to you and tell you that you're an inspiration and tell you that, over the last 20 years, I've shared some pretty personal stories through challenges that I've had. And when you do share those stories, you don't realise that it's actually received in a certain way. And then you meet people and they share how that changed their direction for a little bit. And that's the beauty of sport. That's the power of sport. And I'm a true believer in what it can do to this country. And I do feel weird when I'm up on stage receiving an award in front of somebody who is trying to do their best to cure cancer or increase the food production throughout the world or uncover injustices in child protection, and to have received the award in front of those incredible nominees, I feel like I might have robbed the moment a little bit. But then I remember Cathy Freeman. And I remember that moment, and I remember the legacy of the likes of Don Bradman and their impact in the community, and their impact on our country will echo around this place for another century.
You've got to have something to say in this in particular, because the Australian of the Year has a 12-month platform. Is how, if you were fortunate enough to be given that platform, how much would you crave it? How much do you think you could do in a 12-month intense period?
Look, it's all unknown to me, mate. It's all unknown. If I were fortunate to be crowned as Australian of the Year, I think I would just have one conversation straight away and then see how many times I can build on that one. But when I'm here now, 20 years after racing, I don't look back and see the gold medals. I see just incredible, generous moment after generous moment where people gave me kindness, gave me support, carried me to that start line. And that kindness and that support needs to be replicated across this country, because it's more important than any political conversation. It's more important than anything that an athlete can do. It's glue. It keeps us together. It allows us to become the country that I love and the country that I'm proud of.
To those who have picked up the mantle, do you see a little bit of what you started, say, in Dylan Alcott and what he's doing on a tennis and a broader front?
Mate, Dylan will be... It's the one thing about the Paralympic movement, mate. You get in there and you fight for as hard as you can, for as long as you can, and you see the people behind you just grabbing that ball and making the world bigger and better than what you'd ever imagined. Dylan Alcott is a star. He will be a bigger star than what I'll ever become. Madison Di Rosario, Eliza Stankovic, Isis Holt, these will be household names. If they aren't already, they should be. And I'll guarantee one thing, and that is Tokyo in 2020 will be monumental. The Paralympic movement, we're figuring out who we are. The Australian public are liking it. And we will just continue to grow into the people, into the movement that I think will be one of our most loved in sport.
Are you determined one way or another to be in Tokyo for it?
Oh, mate, I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got my kid, my young fella, he sees basketball in television, able-bodied basketball, and doesn't know what it is. He's only ever seen wheelchair basketball.
Yep.
He loves Riley Batt. He's going to be there and watch Reed McCracken race the 100 metres and Madison Di Rosario have a crack at the 5,000. My family have grown up that I did grow up as a New South Welshman. I wanted to be wearing the green and gold for the Kangaroos. But I did, in reality. I got to spend 20 years with the Paralympic movement, and I wouldn't swap that for anything in the world. They are some of the most powerful, incredible, humble and down-to-earth people that you'll ever meet. And I will be... I may not be a Paralympian or a current Paralympian, but I'll be a fan and an advocate for the movement till I'm buried somewhere down the track.
Yeah, I bet you will. How fondly do you think back on the Commonwealth Games as the closing of that chapter in your competitive life?
one of the best moments of my life.
Yep.
I get to finish that marathon, and I buried myself. I buried myself for every person that carried me to every start line, and at an average heart rate of 194, I had nothing left to give over that hour and 32 minutes. And then within 60 seconds, I had my hug of my wife, my four-year-old in one arm, my six-month-old in another, and they may never remember that moment, mate, but I will never, ever forget it. It was as close to as you'll ever get a perfect moment.
How often are you getting asked about that at the moment? It is in one of the three best sporting moments of the year, I've got no doubt. So it'll get another life once we hit December and start to look back on the 12 months of achievement in sport.
Oh, you know what I'm surprised about? Just how differently people perceive that moment. How one person will stop me and they'll talk about how, I can't believe you had the 194 beats per minute. Another one will say, I was grateful that you said, you know, excuse me to the reporter and hug your family. Another one, it's just how that one moment is perceived in so many different ways by so many different people. And as an athlete, you know, you hope that you can do that thing that you love on the biggest stage that you can ever get. And I made it. It didn't ever, you know, it didn't ever figure to me that I would get a moment that big and have it kind of echo as far as what it did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a great moment. Hey, so what's next for you? What's your next little activity?
Well, you believe it or not, I've been saying to my wife, I've been saying that it's going to get quiet now. It'll quiet down now. It'll quiet down now. And then last night happened. So I'm going to... I'm not really sure. I think I'm going to, you know, try and do my best to justify the nomination as New South Wales Australian of the Year. But I'm also going to try and also take a breath and be dad to Harry and Amelia for a bit, and hopefully try and be around home and be a husband for a bit rather than an athlete, because you know, you bury yourself for that green and gold, and then you wake up and 6 months or 12 months has disappeared, and I need a moment to take a breath and to just appreciate the people that mean the most to me in the world for a little bit.
Fair enough too. I reckon, Kurt, you're going to be hugely popular beyond parochial New South Wales lines, that's for sure, come early next year. And congratulations on the honour.
Thank you, mate.